You are listening to a message from Victory. We hope it inspires you to honor God and make disciples in your community.
The story we're going to talk about is the parable of the workers in the field. But later on, again, we're going to see that it's about the parable of the vineyard owner. And to give you a movie trailer version, normally if there's a movie, 1.5 hour long, kung gusto po natin i-check yung movie, what is this about? And what can I expect from this movie? Here's the movie trailer version of this story before we read the main text. Life is about who God is, not about what we get. Life is all about who God is, not about what we get. And so that's our prayer, that as we go through the parables, we're not just going to get principles that will help us as we do life and family and business and work and studies and relationship. Most importantly, we hope that we are getting deeper in our understanding of who God is. And our prayer is that every story will bring us closer to God and will make us more in love with Him. How many of you here, that's your heart? Lord, I don't want just to accumulate knowledge. I want my heart to be more in love with You. Okay? So can you join me in prayer before we read our main text? Lord, that's our heart. That's our prayer for every mom, every dad, every single person who's in this room, every student. I pray all of us will grow in our knowledge of You. That will result to greater faith, greater love, greater devotion, greater surrender to You. Lord, You said in Your word that You've anointed us to preach good news to the poor, to bring healing to the hurting, and set the captives free. And I pray that as Your word is preached, we pray, Lord, You would heal people today. You would set the captives free, Lord. Those who are imprisoned by the lies of the enemy, I pray that Your truth will set them free today. Lord, I pray that Your light will flood our lives. And I pray, Lord, that we will see You clearer and better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, if you have your Bible with you, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. And I'm going to read. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard." Okay, so he hired workers, and going out about the third hour, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to them he said, "You go into the vineyard too, and whatever is right, I will give you." So they went. Going out again about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, he did the same. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. And he said to them, "Why do you stand here idle all day?" And they said to him, "Because no one has hired us." So it's not because they are lazy, but because nobody's hiring them. And when evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last up to the first." And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each of them received a denarius. Now when those hired first came, they thought they would receive more. But each of them also received a denarius. And on receiving it, they grumbled at the master of the house, saying, "This last work only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to one of them, "Friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give this to this last worker as I give to you." In verse 15, "Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first, and the first last." Now, I'd like to just rewind and go back to the context of the story before going to Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. Just so we will have a better appreciation of the story. Jesus was talking to the rich young ruler. And he looks so serious in following God. They're having this conversation. And he asked Jesus, he said, "How can I have eternal life?" And so Jesus engaged this young man in a conversation. And then finally, God addressed the issue of his heart. He knows what's really inside his heart. And when God laid down to him the requirement of discipleship, the Bible said that this young ruler walked away sad. At first, he was eager. Sabi niya, "Lord, I did not kill anyone. I did not do this." He was choosing the sins that he's willing to surrender. But when God laid out the demands of discipleship and it touched the issue, the very thing he's trying to hide from God, the Bible says he walked away. He was sad. You know, 5 days ago, I repost this article about Jody Santa Maria. She's a member of our church, and she used to attend our 7 p.m. service, serve in our kids' church, but for now, she's attending our Victory Alabang church because that's nearer her house. But they showed this article about her, and of course, familiar story, she talked about her separation, brokenness, and then struggle with alcohol and drugs. Then she recalled one specific event in her life. And she said, she was recounting what happened to her life before. And he said, "I had a major concert abroad, sold out, but backstage I was crying. Fame and money were empty. There was nothing on top." And that's what she realized. And then 2010, Tita Connie, okay, Reyes, also part of our church, invited her to church. But only 2014, 4 years after that, she actually said yes and went to church. And after that, heard the word of God, had an encounter with God, and her life was never the same again. Now, like the rich young ruler, I mentioned that story because like the rich young ruler, she's young, she's rich and successful in her career. At least, siguro mas mayaman siya sa marami sa atin, no? So she's young, rich, and successful in her life. That's what they have in common. But the difference was, this young ruler walked away from God, sad. She walked away from her old life, happy. We are all going to walk away from something. We either walk away from God or we either walk away from the world. But all of us, we will walk away from something. The only question is, are you going to walk away from God or are you going to walk away from the world? And after this conversation, Peter, one of Jesus' disciples, heard it and he said, "I'm not like this rich young ruler. We're not like him, Lord. We've been walking with you for many years. We've surrendered everything. We've been persecuted. We've sacrificed a lot of things." And Peter said in Matthew 19, verse 27, "See, we have left everything and followed you. What then will we have?" In other words, he's saying, what's in it for us? Lord, we sacrifice our reputation. We sacrifice our dreams to follow you. What's in it for us? And I think that question prompted Jesus to tell this story. And here we are now in chapter 20. It talked about a story of a landowner, and it's harvest time, so he hired workers. Early in the morning, he hired the first batch. The first batch of workers entered in a contract. Nakipag-negotiate sila doon sa owner. Sabi nila, "Okay, payag kami magtrabaho sa iyo, but you pay us this amount." The owner agreed. During that time, it's not 8 to 5 job. It's sunrise to sundown, 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So they agreed. Now, after that, the third hour, 9 a.m., he went out again and hired another batch of workers. But this time, there's no negotiation. Walang kontrata, sabi lang nung owner, "Work in my vineyard. I'll do what is right for you. They said, great, we'll trust you to do what is right. That's the third hour. And then during the 12 noon, 3 o'clock, and then 5 o'clock, he still hired workers. 1 hour na lang yung trabaho. Pero sabi niya, kayo, anong ginagawa niyo dyan? Eh, walang gusto mag-hire sa amin eh. I don't know, maybe they are the outcast of society. Maybe they are not that skilled. Maybe some of them are disabled. But this owner said, okay, kaysa nakatambay kayo, go work in my vineyard. You still have 1 hour. Then here comes the closing of the day, 6 p.m. And the owner said, okay, call all the workers and give them the salary for the day. Start with the last one hired. So the 5 p.m. boys, they lined up, they get a denarius. So when they're lined up, the 6 a.m. boys, nakita nila, sabi nila, wow, ang general, 1 denarius, 1 hour of work. So they were expecting to get more. So if they get 1, sagunan ko, compute na sila, carry 1, plus 2, multiply. Ba? Sabi nila, jackpot. And to their frustration, when it was their turn, they received the same pay. And that's when they grumbled and cried unfair. They confronted the owner and they said, this is wrong. This is unfair. How many of you here naka-experience na po kayo ng unfair treatment? Or at least feeling nyo unfair? Pumila kayo tas may sumingit. 2 hours na kayong pumipila. Tapos may sumingit. Gusto mong, praise God. Unfair. Now, in reply to their rumblings, the landowner asked the workers 3 questions. And that's what we're going to talk about. When they confronted him, the owner asked them 3 questions. And these questions will reveal a lot about our hearts and reveal a lot about God. First question. In verse 13, said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? So, again, the workers thought that the owner was doing an injustice. Is being unfair. Sabi nila, we worked 12 hours under the heat of the sun. We're here first, and then you're giving us 1 denarius. So, that's a good point. But as we can see in the story, that's what they signed up for. That was the negotiation. So they entered the contract and the landowner agreed and gave his word and fulfilled this promise. That's why the landowner said, I'm doing you no wrong. Before the start of the work, the agreement was, you work 12 hours, I give you a denarius. And that's what I did. I kept my word. He said, I did not do you any wrong. The problem started when they compared. Everyone say compared. The problem started when they compared what they receive with what others receive. You know, we can be like that. We can be like these people who are so focused on counting other people's blessing rather than counting their own blessing. You know, it's not normal to me when I got saved, became a Christian. It's not normal for me to be grateful. In fact, sobrang negative na tao ko po. I always see what's negative first. I always see what's wrong first. So I have to train myself. And somebody taught me when I was younger, he said, if you want to develop a grateful heart, okay? Because if you stop being grateful, you will become resentful. So if you want to be grateful to God, here's what you do. Practice this. Count your blessing one by one every day before you sleep. You pray to God. You thank Him. You go through the day and then thank. So I started doing that. Lord, I thank you for my shoes. I thank you for the money I've used, all the food I ate, the clothes I wore today. I thank you for the conversation I had with my sister. Thank you, Lord, I have a school to go to. Thank you, Lord, that you gave me the good health so I can walk on my own. And I started thanking God for everything that I take for granted most of the time. I realized, grabe, 30 minutes na ako, ang dami pa. I have to thank God. How many of you know we have a lot of things we need to thank God for? If we only count our blessings, we would realize God has blessed us with a lot of things. I realize I'm blessed. Can you please turn to the person sitting next to you, tell that person, you're blessed. The issue was, the owner said, has God been faithful to you? That's the issue. Has God been faithful to you? Has God delivered on the promises He made for you? Has He been true to His word? Because the landowner fulfilled His word. How many of you can testify God has been faithful to you? He's been faithful to His word. I don't know how many nights ago, we had a dinner with a young couple, si Avon tsaka si Tonti. Campus missionary po natin sila sa Victory of Makati. The girl Avon used to be part of my staff when I was still in New Belt. We've worked for several years. I stayed there for 10 years as a youth pastor. Nakakasal niya lang po over a year and she's now pregnant. So we had coffee dahil ninong-ninang na kami. So we're talking, nagpapa-encourage lang sila because, you know, they're a young couple and they've been going through some things. Looking forward for their first baby, but, you know, financially, there's challenge left and right. So we told them our story. I told them the story when, you know, the time when my wife will give birth to our first child, Cheska, who's now, she's turning 7 this December. Sabi ko, grabe, nung una manganganak yung wife ko, si Sarian. We traveled to La Union because the relative lived there and sa papaanak po siya, no? Pataas yung katungkulan niya sa isang hospital. So, we have to go there because I only have 10,000 pesos. So, ang dami nang nilibre, anesthesiologist, the doctor, the hospital. Tapos, here came the bill. 30,000 yung bill. Sobrang mura na po nun, ano? But I only had 10,000. I had to call my sister and borrow money so that we can go out of the hospital. Pagkabayad ko, yes. Akala ko tapos na, hindi pala diaper. Ang dami pa palang gagastusin. You know, that was, we told them our story. How we had debts for the first 5 years of our marriage. Because at that time, I served in the church for 5 years without a salary. It's like a volunteer work. And I live because we have this program where you will share the vision of reaching young people to random people who are Christians. And you're trusting that God would speak to them and they would partner with you by supporting a certain amount every month. So we live by faith. But God sustained us for that entire year, 5 years that I serve in campus ministry. So when I was telling this story to them, kita mo sila parang talaga ganun kayo, kawawa naman kayo. Sila yung ini-encourage namin nung una kasi down. When we're telling our story, sila na yung, Pastor, pag-pray namin kayo. But we're saying, no. Actually, looking back, here's our testimony to you. God is faithful. God is good. I mean, through the years, may dumaan kami sa ganun, but we've seen how God has provided for us and how God has blessed us beyond our wildest dream and imagination. Not only financially, but the character that we got because of that experience. The wisdom that we acquired through that experience. The faith that was built. God was true to His promise. Two of the promises that God fulfilled during the time, He said, my grace will be sufficient for you. True enough. Sometimes God will not take away the problem. He will give us the grace to go through the problem. Because God wants to give us stories. Your testing today will be your testimony tomorrow. So that God will be praised and that people will find hope through your story. Another promise of God is that God will work in all things for our good. Not all things are good, but God's promise is that God will turn it around so that what's happening today will be a blessing tomorrow. Not just to you, but to the people around you. And the reason we can encourage young couples today is because we have a story of God's faithfulness yesterday. God is faithful. How many of you agree? God is faithful. And that's what we can see in this story. He is faithful to His word and His promises. So the landowner was talking to this workers who entered the contract and said, I did not do you any wrong. I kept my promise. And I want to tell you, I want to tell this to you. God did not do anything wrong to you. He never wrongs us. God is faithful and God is good in all that He do. God is faithful. Can you please turn to the person sitting next to you? Tell that person, count your blessings. Be grateful. Train yourself to be grateful. Pag kumain ka, Lord, thank you, nakakakain ako. More than 3 times a day, 6 times pa nga minsan. Lord, thank you. Hindi perfect yung family ko, but thank you, I have a family. Second question, he said, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? The workers complained about their rights. They felt entitled because of what they've done. 12 hours of work. So they demanded that this pay from this landowner. They're fighting for their rights. Now the landowner said, yes, you're right. But here's your right. It's your right to take the pay that you agreed and entered this contract. You are entitled. That's why sabi niya, okay, get your pay and go. You have the right to receive what's in the contract. And then the landowner flipped. He said, okay, that's your right. Now let's talk about my right. And he said, don't I have a right to do whatever I want with my money? And here's the message. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe Him everything. God doesn't owe us anything. God is not obliged to do us good. In fact, we don't deserve anything good from God. When I was in college, may mga prayer pa ako dati, Lord, just give me what I deserve. Then eventually I learned that's a stupid prayer request. Because if you read the Bible, you know what we deserve? Hell. Judgment. Because the wages of sin is death. Eternal separation from God. Because we've hurt God, we offended God. Every time we sin against God, it's like spitting Him on His face. It's like doing this to God. We're rebelling against Him. And because of our sin, we only deserve judgment from God. But in the kindness, by the kindness and the love and grace of God, He did not give us what we deserve. He gave us what we don't deserve. He provided solution to our greatest problem. He met our greatest need. Our greatest problem is sin. And He met our greatest need, which is forgiveness, so that today we can be saved. That's why today we are grateful for salvation. And everything we receive after salvation is a bonus. Your job is a bonus. My wife is a bonus. Sobrang bonus. Our children, it's a bonus. Our talent, it's a bonus. Because salvation itself is already a gift from God. Something that we don't deserve. And something that we cannot repay God for. How many of you are grateful for the salvation you received from God? He's good. We don't owe Him anything. We owe Him everything. You know, everything we do for God is simply a token of gratitude for what He has done and what He's continually doing for us today. In New Belt, before, when I was the youth pastor there, we would invite celebrities attending our church. Mga member po natin ng church. Every July and February, that's outreach month, we would invite some of our celebrities like Pastor Dave, Pastor Dennis, Pastor Joash. We would invite them. We would get additional 100 students. Pero pag yung mga totoo na, thousands po talaga. So we stopped inviting Pastor Joash and Pastor Dave. Sayang eh. July, August, may time, nagpa 500 lang kami nun. Then we would bring some of our guys from church, mga famous. We would have 3,000 in the service. 3 services, 1,000 each. The long line of students. Yung mga hindi nag-church talagang, Pastor, papasok po. So we would have them. They would give their testimony. Pag mga artists sila, like Barbie, they would play some songs, give the testimony, and then young people would cry, will give the altar call, they give their life to Jesus. After that, we would offer a dinner. KFC, McDonald's, and then we would give them a token. Normally, campus shirt. Kung graduate siya ng UST, we have a campus shirt for you. But you know what we're giving them? It's simply a token. It's nothing compared to what they earn when they have a gig. We cannot match the payment they receive. All we can give is a token. You know, the same way, every good work we do for God, every sacrifice, everything we do is not enough to pay or to repay what Christ has done for us. We're simply giving a token of gratitude to Him. Lord, yung pagpunta ko ng church, yung pagbibigay ko ng tithes and offering, pagsiserve ko sa ushering, paglilid ko ng victory group, Lord, this is simply my expression of gratitude to You. This is not to repay You, but this is really to thank You. He said, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? We don't owe God. God doesn't owe us anything. We owe everything to Him. And last thing, third question. He said, do you begrudge my generosity? You know, in NIV, in the New International Version translation, it says, or are you envious because I am generous? Are you envious because I'm generous? Sometimes we don't have a problem if we are the recipient of God's generosity. We have a problem when God is generous with our office mate, with our relative or another church member. Then that's when the problem starts. So the landowner said, let's get to the heart of the issue. The real issue is not because you receive a denarius or you work hard for 12 hours. That's not real. The real issue. The real issue is this. You are upset because I'm generous to others. You're envious. You know, when we are envious, we are so fixated to what we don't have and to what we are not. So we're so focused to that, and because of that, we lose our joy and we become ungrateful. You know, when I started in the ministry, by the way, mga, ano bang year yun? Year 2001. I think I was 21 years old. I'm now 37, so it's a long time ago. But when I started the ministry, we have a very small church. Yung church po natin sa Lucena, 70 lang kami, 40 lang yung 40 students. My first salary was 2,500. Sa estudyante pa lang po, ubus na yun. Pag imi-meet mo sila for discipleship, lilibre mo. So 2,500, but you know, wow. I struggled with envy. Every time we will have a high school reunion, and I would see my former classmates, some of them, they have their own business, high-paying job, one have new car, and here I am. They have the latest gadgets, latest clothes, ako galing ukay. Yung church po natin, nasa third floor, sa baba, may ukay-ukay. That's our wardrobe. 2,500. Diba, nag-huddle ka pa. Magkano tong long sleeve? 150. Gabi, mahal naman. 50 na lang. Eh, mostly galing sa US, diba? So, mga oversize. Kaya pag Sunday, mukha kaming mga scarecrow eh. Akit kami para. Hallelujah! Di mo makita yung kamay kasi ang gandito yung long sleeves. So, grabe, after the high school reunion, I would go home. I would really struggle. I have this battle in my mind. I have this silent prayer. I have this resentment in my heart. Sabi ko, God, ba't ganun? I'm the one serving You in the ministry. I'm a pastor, youth pastor. How come You're generous to my classmates? Here I am. This is what I have. Grabe, narinig ni Lord yata yung prayer ko. The next month, I got a raise. 4,000. Grabe. You would think na, oh, 2,500 to 4,000, so hindi ka na resentful. Hindi ka na envious kasi tumaas. You know, some of you here, maybe you're earning today, maybe 50 times more than the money you're receiving when you're in college. your allowance. But accumulating more doesn't end the envy in our heart. That's why what we need really is not more consumption but more appreciation of what we have. It's not more consumption but greater appreciation of what God is doing in our lives. And I think one of the things that will help us battle that envy in our heart is to understand that God is relating to us as His children, not as contractual workers. One of the signs of maturity, one of the signs that you would know you're really growing in your understanding of God, growing in your faith, that you're maturing and you're no longer childish in your faith, one of the signs is your ability to sincerely, genuinely celebrate with the blessings of others, with the promotion of others, being able to genuinely rejoice with them without being envious and without getting offended with God. That's a sign of maturity. Yung hindi fake, yung, ay, na-promote ka, I'm happy for you. Grabe, bro. Engage ka na, great. Grabe. Bulag ba yung fiancé mo? Alam mo yun, how many of you can would admit, sometimes you struggle with that? Pag ikaw yung may promotion, you want everyone to rejoice with you. But if others get the promotion, one of the signs of maturity is to be able to genuinely celebrate with the blessings of others and not be envious. Again, one of the things that will help us is to understand God is relating to us as His children, not contractual workers. If we understand that context, that might help us. Because you see, I have two children now, two kids. One 6 years old, one and a half years old. Two different individuals. They have different personality. I'm sure they have different destiny. They are in different season. So there are things that we don't allow Jackson to have and to do. That's the name of our youngest. We don't bring him with us when we watch a movie. Sometimes we bring our 6 years old. Iniwan namin siya sa bahay. There are things that we give to our 6 years old daughter that we don't give to him. Not because we love our daughter more than him, but because they are just in a different season. So we're not depriving. So there's no room for envy because we're not treating them more special than him. No, we're just treating them according to where she is, what we're doing, and where she's going to go. Jackson will have his time. In the same way, there are things that we don't allow Cheska to do that we allow Jackson to do. We don't allow her to sit on the stroller. Gusto niya pa tanggal yung 1 year, 1.5 years old. Maglakad ka, lalaki ka, ako yung babae. No, we don't. Hindi ko siya kinikerry sa mall the whole time. Laki-laki na niya, gandito ko na, di ba? No, we don't do that to her, but I do that for my younger son. Are you following? Because this is a family. It's not that I love her more than him or he's more special than her. No, it's just that it's different. You know, sometimes ganun din tayo kay Lord. And we would look at other people and say, Lord, ba't siya engaged na? Ako, Lord, kuling biyahin na to. Anong season pa ba ang hinihintay natin, Lord? God is relating to us as children. And He's blessing us not according to our performance. He's blessing us according to His generosity. I want to end right here. And here's what we can learn from this story. God is not unfair, and He is generous. Is life fair? No. Life is not fair. We have to accept that. Is God fair? He's more than fair. And He is extremely generous. God is not only fair, He's more than fair. He's not fair only to Himself, but to you and to me, He's more than fair. But when it comes to Himself, He's not fair. It's not fair for God to send Jesus from heaven to earth. It's not fair for Jesus to be bitten, to be tortured, to be crucified on the cross for our sins. He did not do anything wrong. But He's the one who was crucified on the cross for us. That is not fair. We are supposed to receive judgment. But he took that judgment upon himself. That is not fair. God is not fair to himself. But with us, God is more than fair. And God is generous. Amen? Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, it's not about your fairness. It's about your grace, your goodness, your righteousness, your love for us. Lord, I pray we will be like Peter, not the rich young ruler. No matter what happens, we will not walk away from you. We will run to you. I pray like Peter, we will, Lord God, surrender everything to you. We will not try to negotiate or demand you to treat us a certain way. We will simply trust your goodness and grace, that you will do what is right for us. Lord, we declare you are faithful. We declare that you are always right and holy in everything that you do. You never wronged us, Lord. From the start and to the end, you are faithful. Lord, we thank you for every blessing that we get to enjoy. Thank you for the access that you've given us to enjoy the best of the land. We thank you for all the favors that we receive from you every single day. Sometimes we fail to pause and thank you. Sometimes we take it for granted, but you never stop blessing us day after day after day. Lord, make us a grateful people. Nurture in us a grateful heart. In everything that we do, we pray, Lord God, we will give you thanks. For you deserve it, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message. For more messages like these from other Victory Centers, please visit victory.org.ph/resources/podcasts.